free time. And if you want to stay more flexible, 6 small meal snack. That's providing you looking at it objectively carefully. If solar nutrition is valid, we have to test it. And in testing it, we have to put the requirements of modern science to it from the measurements that we made to what represent a functional mechanism capable of performing anything it wants to perform. A meal, if you sit down to eat it, must comprise of 1 protein. Now, it's the order of the input makes a difference in your health. A lot of people do a lot of things. 2, carbohydrate. 3, mineral. Vitamin. 4, lipid or oil. 5, liquid or water. Anytime you sit down to eat a meal that is structurally beneficial to the mechanism, be it 3 as a basic, this formula must be satisfied to the functional mechanism. It's just like your car. Anytime you run out of gas, you're not going to go look for kerosene or throw inside the car tank. You run it. You're going to try and find gas, right? And if you have an unleaded engine, you're not going to put that gas in it. So common sense tells you that from the external environment, when it comes to your body, it's a much more finely tuned instrument. You want to understand it too. You don't want to just take it for granted. Protein must go in first. So the first meal we have in the day, what we call that? Breakfast. Breakfast. That's a break. Breakfast. That's what it really is. That's your real breakfast. Breakfast. We are breaking the fast that between the rest period at night to the dawn period when you went to bed, when you wake up, in the process of assimilation, absorption, or elimination. Breakfast should be the first meal. Now before you came into the way you were eating, think back. Your parents made you eat a certain way, right? It may be wrong from the standpoint of what is going on in terms of their own needs and feelings. But let's look at it objectively and see where their ideas came from and what were they doing. If they gave you a typical breakfast in the last 30 years and even today, what would you call it for breakfast? Eggs, right? Okay. Nothing wrong with those foods per se. They're all perfectly set for lunar time. They're not set for solar time. In the time of the month, we have 28 days. You have 21 days of a solar time, and you have 7 days of lunar time. A woman is more conscious of that than a man. he's not so conscious of it, because a woman has to have the menstruation cycle to phase down that particular condition in her body. And she knows if she menstruation cycle doesn't come on time, you have a problem, right? And it's always, the question is on time. It's not how much. And the man's right here, he takes it for granted, but he has also gonadic time. He may not be aware of it, just as much as she has over me. Yeah. So her conditions of menstruation function of the ovum in men is the gonadic principle of how the hormones interface in his mechanism. And if he doesn't understand that, then he has problems too. Later on, he has prostate problems. And he has all types of so-called impotent problems. It's because of lack of understanding of gonadic pain. And therefore, he may resort out of a fear and anxiety or frustration to a celibate life, just as much as a woman. But if they understand it, the woman is made conscious of her ovary function and her hormones more than the man. He has to learn it later on. But the woman learns it very young. Breakfast is the first meal. And protein must go in. And basically, if this area of light, I take this area of light, and we will take the man over here, zone 1, zone 2, zone 3. Each zone of the body must have protein, carbohydrate, mineral, liquid. Each zone must have that form. It's going to stay healthy. Otherwise, it'll break down. And it'll get costly condition as years go. If this light zone, and that's the question the scientist presents, doesn't contain this formula to satisfy you in 1 meal at breakfast, then this is a farce. But if this light zone can provide the data to satisfy this formula in its sequence for this meal in the day, you have a valid science for the first time. Then you can go to the next light zone and test it. Next light zone, test it. Then all three zones will have what they require. Chemistry at the right time. But if it can't do that, then it's not a valid science. It's just an illusion or theoretical supposition. Now, when I was subjected to it, this was a test they had to throw at me. So you can imagine what I'm going through to prove it. I'm going to have to prove force it myself. In this light zone, we find all the foods that you could eat with the highest protein with the highest nitrogen minus uric acid, because that's where you come back to your animal diet, minus adrenaline, that's the animal, that's where you feel eating the animal or running for the animal. Their protein is protein good. But here I'm talking, you need protein with the highest nitrogen that have the highest nitrogen.
Highest nitrogen.
In quantum. Because the cells that utilize protein minus nitrogen produce a disease without cause mentioned in your Bible. Known today as cancer. The disease without cause. It's not a new idea, but old as it is. Cancer is new. Animal flesh, protein doesn't have the nitrogen. The uric acid is very high. The adrenaline is very high. So your FDA is telling you now, if you want to be free from cancer, what you gotta do? Quit eating. On the Time magazines not too long ago, one fellow came into my office the other day and said, "Adano, you've been preaching here in this country for a hell of a long time. This country spent so many million dollars. Look at this." He says, "I'm angry, so angry. They said, I'll pay you $25 and come and take a class from you." So that's not the way to go. People have to learn by their mistakes. He said, but there it is. We are now told by FDA, this is bad for us. We have a nitrogen content, not high. That is contributing to the proliferation of the cell breakdown.
We're coming to that.
That's what I'm trying to point out to you. Nature did it. We didn't. All we got to learn is what nature did. So see, what I'm going to tell you, honestly, in this whole encounter of my own self, I didn't add anything to nature. I just discovered where I made my mistakes with nature. And then I had to come back. We want protein with the highest nitrogen content, minus uric acid, minus adrenaline. In this light zone, there is no animal living in it. Even if a bird lives in a tree to hide from his enemies, the protein of the bird at the wrong time of the month is very toxic to the body. Only at lunar time, it would be a benefit to the body. Solar time is not a benefit. It's an accident.
So it's a creative principle too, right? So you get to a creative principle, so that's the way.
Exactly, right. So here in this growth cycle set up by nature, for breakfast, she put the most ideal proteins for us with high nitrogen. They're called nuts. And it's ideal for this portion of your anatomy. They call you what? If you're stupid.
You're nuts.
And this shell is as hard as your skull. So she was a joker and she put the geometry and the anatomy and then the interface of the time. Leave it for us to discover by our mistakes. We ain't gonna learn anything new that we made a bunch of mistakes. And that's valid to make it, so that we can come back on this. Now, the nuts are set up. There are many varieties, and we have to sort them out too, otherwise we make a lot of mistakes with them. Some are not really nuts. Peanut is not a nut, and cashew is not a nut. Is your first exposure to a colonic bag. Nature's way to make a denim bag. That's what a cashew really is. I didn't realize it until I had to learn it and go through it. And my trouble doctor laughed. He said, "Everybody wants to eat this." Only realizing that Mother Nature was busy trying to teach us how to clean up our acts. But if you ever see the cashew fruit, we discuss it. But some are not nuts. But the bulk of them on the tree are nuts. And they can be eaten in the raw state. So one after the raw food, yes. They're valid.
So the seeds are not in the same category.
No, they're not in the same category. Yes.
Is it better to
soak
the nuts before doing?
Yes, we'll come to that too. Preparation. First we must establish them that they're in this growth. And they're valid for the reason you can eat them for breakfast for protein. Now, Carbohydrate is in the fruit, the flesh of the fruit. Minerals and vitamins are in the skin, possibly also in the seed of the fruit, or in the flesh of the fruit, and they're also in the nuts. They're all in the trees. And the lipid or the oil is in the nut. And you press it out, then you have the natural polyunsaturated oil to lubricate the body. It's not a saturated oil. Yet again, nature's a joker. Don't trust her. You gotta watch out for her. She likes to play games. She has one foot that plays monkey games with your head. Hard as your head. Has hair like your hair. Yeah. It's got a coconut. It's a saturated oil. The only time it will behave like a polyunsaturated oil, you have to mix it with two other foods and cook it, add heat, then it acts like a polyunsaturated oil. So there again, she has the exception to the rule for a reason for treating certain illnesses in the body. See, everything is for food and for medicine, right? Medicine is after you've made the mistakes.
It also depends on how hard you want to make.
Right. Okay. The liquid is in the fruit itself, the juice. So, now, I'm going to take one nut as a protein, which we consider the ideal input protein. When Mr. Casey was alive, somebody was talking with Mr. Casey, he would always advise people, if they wanted to stay healthy, they should put in a little almonds into their diet. Almonds. But they never said why, but he always inferred it was very good for the health. Until we dig into it and find out what it really is doing. It's a Persian word. Almond. Did you see how I spell it? A-L-M-O-N-D. Mond means world, and al means food or all. When you take it out, we say almond, it's a nut. When we look into the almond, we find an unusual condition that doesn't exist in other foods. The human body is composed of 12 basic minerals. That means they have to be in the largest quantity for the body to be structured. 12 basic. The 12 basic minerals have to be there, and you have 4 basic gases. So we are called a 16 element being. With 100 and how many more trace elements?
144.
So you take out 16 from 144, how many trace minerals do you have in your body now?
There are 28.
128 trace minerals, right? That's exactly. You have 128 trace minerals, and they have to be there in trace quantity. Overloading it is bad, and if you're sick, back from it, it's bad because then you have to overload it to get it back up.
Can I ask you a quick question? Since we've got a small oven to deal with, does it make any difference if we dextrinize the vegetables before they're cooked?
Yeah. Sorry.
Whenever it still dextrinizes.
Almond is that one food that has all 12 basic minerals locked up. You'll not find another food that is edible as a protein containing all 12 basic minerals, minus nitrogen refining, not with nitrogen. With nitrogen, almond is the only one.
It has nitrogen.
With nitrogen. It's the only food that with nitrogen has all 12 basic amounts as a protein. Almond is the only food with nitrogen and all 12 basic minerals. There's no other way.
Almonds are soaking and pour out the water to give you some of the minerals.
Don't throw away the water. You soak it in distilled water. Don't use any other kind of water but distilled water, because that's the purpose of what we call sprouting it, or starting the germinal action of the almonds. And you want those minerals. You're setting them in a state what we call viable activity now for digestion. But you want to know more about the almond than just soaking it. What it's going to do. When you look at the chart, you're going to see organs on the clock. This is called your biological clock. They have to have minerals going in to feed them on time. Otherwise, they're not going to work for you. They're going to let you down. The biological clock is red from 3 a.m. That's where it begins. It's called the long time. You'll notice there's no reference to your brain in the biological clock. There's a reference to lungs as the first point of reference in the clock. Your brain is useless without your lungs. So the ancient people didn't give any preference to brains, they gave preference to lungs. Because you don't breathe, it's over. Even no matter how you perfectly your form, the cord is cut and you don't breathe, it's over. So the lungs become the preferential point on the clock. You have to have the next organ, which is called the large intestine. So between 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. when you wake up in the morning, the first place you should be heading to is where? Bedrooms. If you're healthy, biologically healthy, in terms of what we're talking, working towards a butterfly hood, you'll be heading to the bathroom very first thing in the morning to empty out the dead mass from yesterday's lunch. Not yesterday's dinner. You don't dump out yesterday's dinner, you dump out yesterday's lunch. That's the cycle pattern of great pressure transport movement to the point of exit. So you always have to have backup move space. It doesn't just shh. So you'll find that we have a lot of food stored up in us from various traumas. So the colon has to dump out. Then the next organ is 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. That's the stomach. Now the stomach is very important because the hydrochloric acid is stored there to be the first organizer of food that goes through, to break down, to be absorbed, and converted into energy. In this order of entry, in the chemical makeup, we need a protein to go in first. It has to be an unusual protein to set what we call the hydrochloric tolerance. And the time is very important when it goes in to set it. Now if you put a meat in, and this is in degree of tolerance, I'll use the numbers here just for temporary show. Let's say this is 100, this is 90, this is 80, and that's 70. In reference to the tolerance level, or how you set the hydrochloric acid. From the moment it's set in the morning, it will not change till next evening. Everything else will adhere to that setting point. Timing is set. You put in a meat in the morning as a protein, good. Bacon, an egg, whatever. That protein, and most people when they put in on a plate bacon and eggs, do you actually put the bacon in your mouth first? Think back. How many times your mother puts the bacon and eggs in front of your ham and eggs? Which one you put in first?
Eggs.
You always put the egg in first, right?
My brother eats bacon first.
Good.
Just cut the egg in and soak the bacon in. Put them both together.
If you put the egg in first, you'll have a tolerance reading of in the range of 80. If you put the beef in first, you'll have a tolerance reading in the range of 90. And everything else from then on will be set to that range for that beef. So imagine if you try to eat an almond sometime late in the afternoon, a chocolate almond cookie or a chocolate bar, what's going to happen? You'll have knocked this whole process out because you're coming with the most powerful mechanism that should have been there in the first place to start the whole tolerance, because almond has a tolerance of this range, 100.
You mean it puts that much 100% hydrochloric acid in?
And the intensity of the hydrochloric acid to break down every type of protein from them on time. The intensity is so high, the ratio is so high, but the time you enter it, it is set. Because all 12 basic minerals are present in the almond already. And it's a protein plus nitrogen of the highest quantum. So you automatically setting the highest tolerance in that hydrochloric acid. So when the moment it goes in, the time is set. It's like timing the unit. You know you're going to get a higher reading there. The body's going to, from then on, digest. But before that, any of them coming in, locked out. So you have to put in the almond. This is how we found that KC was right on the button. A little almond was necessary. What was the almond really doing? It was setting the tolerance level of the hydrochloric acid so that it would break down protein, any other protein that came in after, without it staying inside and clogging up the system.
Thank you.
Meat as a protein doesn't have high nitrogen, and the hydrochloric acid must have a protein with the highest nitrogen to go in there first. If you put the protein in, like a meat in first, eventually two things will show up in years to come with the hydrochloric acid. One, the hydrochloric acid will start phasing off the lining of the wall of the stomach. You'll start getting your ulcers, and you start getting your condition of your cancer in your stomach or your lining in your. Two reasons. The second reason, if you put the meat in, the hydrochloric acid is not designed to break down meat. If it was designed to break down meat, your stomach would be eaten up by the hydrochloric acid from the day the guy put you together. Think of that now.
What about animals?
Your mechanism is not set up like an animal. And another thing, any animal that lives off another animal is not eating a healthy animal. He's eating a phased out animal, already phased out by his mechanism, and is signaling to the healthy animal, who is a scavenger now, to phase him out and go ahead and use him. If you ever saw the picture called Cry Wolf, wondering why the people, the caribou was dying out in the northern region, they thought the wolf was doing it. Only come to find out the wolf was not killing out the caribou. It was the hunters that were killing out the caribou and leaving them to be gobbled up by the wolves.
The caribou was actually doing genetic engineering.
Right, exactly. A healthy animal does not send off the odorines from the body to creatures designed to phase them out. It's the one that is sick that sends out the odorines for the creatures to use them as phase out. In other words, nature has designed her own undertaker system to keep the place clean. And we call it feeding on each other.
An animal that hunts actually will go after an animal that is not well.
That's right. They'll go after the one that is not well, not the one that's healthy. In the first place, let's say you have some deer over there. And here's a lioness in her front and the male lion sitting down here. The time comes to feed, the lioness will raise her nostril up and check the ear. And she doesn't smell any creature that is phasing out. She just leans back down. The moment she smells any creature in that flock over there or herd that is sick, she picks up the scent. It's his or her scent that's going to make her move now to feed, because she knows she has found the one that relates to her. The timing is set up for her to move now, and she starts letting out the roar. The flock or the herd starts moving. Is the healthy one going to be left behind, or is the sick one going to start running slower as the exhaustion begins?
Sick one.
As the exhaustion begins, you'll find who is being left behind now. The weaker one, right? So that's the one she pounces upon, and then that's phased out from the herd. But then there's a feed. So that's a natural time phasing out. Their protein satisfies her mechanism. But she's designed for that. Now, if you look into your mechanism, how protein is broken down from the body. Almond sets the tolerance.
That's the quality.
The quality of the hydrochloric acid.
So the rest of the day you have to digest.
Yes. Now, in a product that is of a fiber, and that's a nut. And let's say I'm going to use three diagrams to represent minerals. A triangle is one type, a square is another type, and a circle is another type. And you need these minerals in your body, and they're encapsulated in this particular fiber, food, which is a vegetable or a fruit or a nut. The moment it gets into the hydrochloric acid, the purpose of the hydrochloric acid is to raise off the fibers. You ever notice when you soak something longer and longer and longer, what happens? It starts to split, right?
Mm-hmm.
The longer you soak it, it does what? It starts splitting.
Yeah.
It swells and splits, and that's exactly what you're doing there. Now, if you soak your nuts overnight before you put it in your tummy, you would save nature the anguish of having to give your back a cramp. You put it in too dry. That's why it's not good to eat dry nuts right away like that. It's best to soak them. That's why she gave you teeth. And that's why the astronauts now found in their testing with the Russians there that the teeth is very important to maintain the calcium reaction, because if they don't eat in space and they just take the liquid that they were doing in the test or taking the tablets, their calcium body breaking down and their teeth were breaking down. And that was the first indication that teeth had a function. They have to eat solid food in some form. They have to chew in some form. So the food is set up for them to chew.
Oh, so it's a saliva too,
right? So that is the basic purpose of why the baby's mouth is put first to the breast to chew the liquid and drink the solid. You ever heard that statement? Chew your liquids, drink your solids. That's very old science, and today we know it's a fact. If you don't work your saliva around any liquid, the minerals in that liquid will go through and they're locked in the hydrochloric acid. That's why you just drink something like that without innervating it with your saliva, automatically loses, and then it goes under and they lock in, and then you get back up problems. But you don't know that as a young person. That's where we're finding it takes about 30 years for the body to clog up. 30 years to clean it back up. It's a heck of a long time. But that's how we learn. Now, if you chew the solid to a liquid form, the saliva will break it up and most of it will disappear in the liquid form. And just a few rough fiber will be left to swallow for roughage. And if you chew up the liquid going in, you'll also emulsify any minerals that are in there. So chewing is a natural requirement to emulsify minerals. Now,
if you're going to drink carrot juice, then you shouldn't drink it right now.
You should chew it, you know.
Squish it down.
Yeah, you should squish it down. Mm-hmm. You should, because you want the vitamin A to go where? Ah, but remember, vitamin A was assigned to your eyes for the purpose of the eyes being incapable of not seeing in the dark. If you wanted to swallow it right away, then you got to go down the stomach, work its way back up into the blood to come back to the eyes. It's not a long, roundabout way. Then you can chew it in your mouth and interface it through the another route. That's why today now you can take vitamin A, put it under the tongue, press the tongue, let it go through, and it goes right up to the eyes. Yes, we know it's another technique for interfacing nutrition. So the tongue and under the tongue has tremendous effects. Works its way through the back into this area quicker, through the head, to the eyes. So if you swish the carrot juice more in your mouth instead of just pouring down and swallowing it, you will get the minerals and the vitamins to the location quicker without having to go through the hydrochloric acid and work its way back. So that helps a lot, especially if you have problems in the head and nasal tract. Foods like that, you can work your saliva and they go back up. Yes. All right. In the hydrochloric acid, a natural seed or nut, the fiber will break off, and this is what we call digesting. And these minerals will leach out of the fiber. That's a natural compression action of breaking it up. The hydrochloric acid is designed to do that, hold them apart. Now, if you put in a meat, it's a protein, with these same basic minerals in them, the hydrochloric acid is not going to do exactly what it did to that alcohol. It's going to do something different. Since it's not designed to break down tissue, and this is fiber, and meat is tissue, it's going to do something else. Let's say that's a piece of meat with the minerals inside. It's going to set up a heat ratio. Start talking. And in that talking process, this is shut up, this is shut up, this is shut up, with pressure. There it is, but torquing. Pressure action.
Torquing.
Torquing.
Is that what you're using?
Torque something. Oh, you torque it, right?
Torque it down.
Right, and keep, but then eventually the pressure will build up to what? Shoot the mineral out. So the impact constantly hitting the walls of the stomach, and the erosion pattern will start building up. It's like you're taking the water, turn on the magma, and hitting the wall. If you keep hitting it after a while, what would happen?
Mm-hmm.
Do. Right. And that is what you're really doing. Whereas the other way is just pouring it on. So it wouldn't have that. So there we find out that the meat protein minus the nitrogen and the torquing action of the hydrochloric fluid tends to be detrimental to the stomach. And then when it goes down with the adrenaline, the uric acid, it's much difficult to eliminate. So it accumulates in the system and attacks the liver. Liver attacks the pancreas. You call that. They start breaking down. You get too much uric acid building up in your kidney and bladder. Now here's a good example. Eat a piece of meat and eat a piece of vegetable. Which urine has a higher urine? Right, because of the intense concentrated amount of uric acid and adrenaline in the tissue. Now, that's not all to worry about the meat. I wouldn't worry if that was all the problem with the meat. But since meat does not digest in the human body, it decomposes in the human body. That means it goes through another change in the human body, a type of rotting process, which then lays the foundation for parasitical multiplication. The tapeworm, the intestinal worm, flukes. They begin to become possible from eating meat. And then they show up in the body. And one of the first signs of worms in the body is if every time you sit down, you can't sit down, your buttock is itching. The rectal area is itching. That's evidence you've got worms. You're always scratching them. Just at the mouth of the penis, it's itching. And colon irrigation can bring it out, or you have to deworm yourself like you deworm a dog. You have to eat certain foods to get it out. But that's a fact.
Is that like case conditions, eat cabbage?
Yes, cabbage has vitamin U. So vitamin U is in cabbage. It's for the ulcerated stomach. And it's for the acids that are built up by the irritation of the worm and the decomposition of the meat. So you need the cabbage.
Adana, what happens with an algae or plankton protein?
Now we come to that. An algae protein or plankton protein is high in nitrogen. It doesn't have uric acid. But remember, it's formed in a different light zone than other formations, so there is a time when it's ideal to go in. Most plankton are formed in water that are wet. Marine life thrive off of the plankton. And therefore, plankton protein works better with marine activity where kelp grows, and the iodine content is higher. So it's a nighttime food. It's just more ideal for night as a protein to rebuild the body when you sleep and get it ready for the next day.
If it's like spirulina is grown in alkaline water, must be alkaline, and it is not in seawater, so it's different than.
Right. But again, the highest alkaline food that you can find doesn't grow on a tree, it doesn't grow on a bush, it grows under the ground. It's called a carrot. Mm-hmm. So you see, nature knows what she's doing already with the light cycle. If you put the spirulina in at night, from the alkaline type of water, just as much as the carrot grows under the ground as an alkaline food, it builds the area where it's best suited. If you realize what part of your anatomy is spirulina built, it will build the upper portion, middle portion, or lower portion of the anatomy. It does, because it's involved in all the gonadic processes, all the uterine processes of the body.
Even it feeds the liver.
Right, you're proving it now. It's a nighttime intake reactivation food for the light cycle, for the gonadic region from the hip bone down, for all these structures down, to get you to do this. Do your Mahasana next morning. That's a spirulina spiral, spirulina, you know, that blood of him is for that. I hate to say this, I don't like to discredit yoga, but it's an automated self-propelled kundalini food from the base of the anus back up the head during the night. So by the time 4 o'clock in the morning comes, you're going to find you squirming in your buttocks there, and you're going to get up and you're going to go to wonderful meditation. In other words, spirulina as a protein designed by nature, she ain't waiting for you to sit up to practice meditation. She's setting it up to do it if you eat right. And
wakes
I've
you
eaten
up.
It, and it wakes me up right
no,
at
no,
the
no,
top. And the food has been set. But I didn't know it at the time. I say, you're stumbling through pain and sickness. You may realize nature has it all organized. The blueprint is there. I say, oh boy, there. It's all there to go. You get the high rise, the high elation back into the brain. Because it's that type of innovation. It activates the gonadic area, the uterine area, which then rises back up. That's the whole purpose of the raising kundalini, or re-energizing, or energizing the nervous system, so it will resonate in the pineal. But being of a protein that is not of a seed, algae is not a seed. Algae is an interfacing of photosynthesis light rays on minerals in darkness, forming a moss or an algae and interfacing with iodine as a stabilizer to trigger this internal release. So it's an automatic elevator. It's one of those elevators where you step in and you don't have to do nothing and the door closes back and it says, number please. 5, and then it goes by itself. Instead, you have to keep punching, you see? It's one of those kind of impact. So that's what spirulina is. It's built by nature to raise the innervation effect. So you'll find when you do your Kriya techniques, this is an asset for Kriya techniques now. In the morning, spirulina. Right, you take it at night, so you sleep good. Next morning at 4 o'clock, you're up and ready to go. It's what you call automated conscious release.
Well, what happens in the same diagram if you do it in the morning as opposed to the
night? It slows it down.
It slows it down.
No. This is this is valid for 21 days. The condor in the lunar period.
Means all day long.
3 days. 3 days before the full moon, the day of the full moon, 3 days after the full moon, you can eat spirulina.
Oh, that morning, seven night. Days on?
Yeah. That's when we are closest to the, right, the full moon is when the moon, the pressure of the moon is closest and maximal to the Earth. And everything is on that phase level.
So everything is reversed, all of these?
No.
You can eat anything.
Anything.
In any time zone.
Okay, for 7 days.
Yeah.
Exactly right. You still have to combine it.
If you want to eat ice cream in the morning, fine. You want to eat chicken at night, fine. If you want to eat almonds in the middle of the day, fine. But in that 7 day period, it makes an adjustment. Now, you find this is true when a person is pregnant. At a certain time of the day, they want to, or morning, they'll go to the refrigerator, eat
right.
Something that is totally out of the cycle. This is because that is a valid function for stabilization. And only those amount of days which stabilizes the cancer. It flushes it out like a, it acts like a laxative. Yeah.
Don't you still have to do your food combining though? I mean, you can't just unarbitrarily eat anything you want. Like you can't eat proteins and carbohydrates and fruits and at one setting.
You have to eat it in this order, but you can eat it at the wrong side, at another
wrong,
cycle.
Okay.
Yeah, at a different cycle. Yeah, but you must eat it in that chemical combination. If you say you have a breakfast and you want to eat an egg and vegetables and so forth, you can eat it in the morning or eat it at the middle of the day or night. But you must eat in the context of the protein. So a night protein going in, which is an egg protein, that's the time you use your eggs. You use it at night. You don't use it in the middle of the day. You don't use it in the morning.
Let's say nutritional yeast.
Yeast should be used in the middle of the day and towards evening. You can use it both days. Morning, middle of the day and evening. Because it follows both light zones.
How's that?
Because it grows in light and darkness.
Oh, okay.
So you have it in the middle of the day and towards evening.
What about bee pollen?
Bee pollen is in the middle of the day.
Because it's gathered?
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about water?
Well, let's finish up this first. We've got a lot of people. Go ahead. Now the fruits and nuts are set for your morning for breakfast. So if I was eating a breakfast, the first protein I put in is would be the almond. Even though the almond is mixed up with the fruits, I'll dip out the almond and put it in my mouth and eat it first to get the breakdown, and get to set the hydrochloric acid.
How many?
The ratio of almonds, if you're eating other nuts with it, that's all right, but that you must have one day where you must eat only the almonds and don't add other nuts on the basis of 1 per 10 pound of body weight. This is the ratio it's set. For every 10 pounds of body weight, 1 almond interfaces it. But you must have that during the week at least once or twice a week to set this process. Otherwise, if you're mixing it with walnuts and other kinds of nuts, it will slow down. But to maintain what you call the required weight of your body to function best, take 2 days in the week, minimum, 3, fine. But take it with a ratio of 1 to 10. No, that's for the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. Not morning tea.
Restock.
There, middle of the day.
Now, if you just ate almonds and didn't do any other nuts, you get your what you need. You don't have to do other nuts.
No, you get your basic need because you get your minerals and you get 1 to 10 ratio.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps your weight.
And you get your oil.
You get your oil. But you don't get your carbohydrate
right.
that you need. So yeah, the choice of my carbohydrate is between, I use peach and prune. prune is for elimination, potassium, and the peach is for elasticity of the tissues. It would make no difference if it's in the can, as long as you wash off the sugar, or it's fresh. Preferably fresh, if you can. The mineral content should interface work with the algae. And that's what you're looking for, is what that mineral content will do at the time it goes in, because peach and the prune had to grow, extract those minerals that are going to be found in other foods, another light cycle. But that light cycle assigned to that particular form pulled it out of the ground at that particular time. So that's very common. A prune, or which is a plum, pull the vitamin and the other mineral out of the ground within its own light cycle to form it, for a purpose to be absorbed and eliminated within the body when the body comes along to use it. Now, you can take, let's say I'm going to use one mineral, potassium. It's found in prunes growing on a tree. Potassium is also found in a melon, but a melon doesn't grow on a tree. A melon took the potassium out of the ground and incorporated it to become a melon and store it in the melon. The prune took the potassium out of the ground and stored it as a prune. The body needs it now, potassium for elimination. This is the observation, that the body must have potassium for elimination. If I was to put a melon potassium into my body early in the morning, not in lunar time, in solar time, it will not act. It will stay there till lunchtime. So I'm not getting the result of the potassium. If I put the prune potassium in the morning, I'll get the result immediately. Now, in lunar time, if I put the watermelon potassium in the morning, I'll get a reaction. It'll work right through. So the phasing of the pressure, and we're talking about pressure pushing something more, you're getting more pressure in the full moon range to the mechanism. That's why it will cope. The body will feel it and work with it to go on. So around the full moon period, if you took a piece of watermelon in the morning, the potassium there will work through to eliminate clean the colon. In the solar time, the prune does its job consistently all the time. So these are the things that timing is good. Yeah. No, we will come to that again.
Okay.
When they say don't combine, we're talking of the chemistry and the period of the month, when it's lunar time and when it's solar time. In lunar time, you can combine it.
So you eat that in lunar time?
No, I eat this in solar time.
Oh.
Once I put the almond in, I set the hydrochloric acid, and this food and this food will go in and react. You have the plate in front of you. You take the prunes and put it in. As soon as they go in and you chew it good and swallow the first mouthful, it's gone to set the acid, and it will follow in sequence after you. It can't jump ahead. It's not going to jump ahead. It's not a kind of a function in your body. Every time you put something in, this comes in first, it can go down first. This comes in second, and it's left. It moves on. It's constantly working. The only time it'll sit there is after its light cycle. That's the only time it will sit there. Other time it'll keep moving and working, because that's its purpose, is to break down things on their light cycle time. If you go in before the time, they will sit. In the lunar time, everyone is working to move it up.
in the solar time is sequential movement. This is a rhythm. This is why we call it timing. It's playing an important principle of it. That's rhythm going through a movement.
Do you meet the features in Coons both in solar time, or do you meet one or the other?
No, I eat all three. Yeah, you can do that. As long as you put the almonds in first, put the almonds in first to set the tolerance. Then you put your peaches and fruit almonds in.
Even one almond.
Yes, it sets the tolerance. It sets the tolerance of the hydrochloric acid. So no other food can buck it. Do you get what I mean? In other words, once it's set, it's set.
For the day.
If you're not going to set the hydrochloric acid and you want to eat the other nuts, then the next nut in line for setting the hydrochloric acid would be the walnut. But if you don't use the almond, you can use a walnut. If you use the almond, fine. You can also use a little almond with walnut periodically. You can use a little almond with pistachio periodically. But if you want to set, the almond goes in there. The other nuts can come in. They won't interfere. But if you use an almond with them, always put the almond in first.
Because the almond better than pistachio or clover?
It has all 12 basic minerals, because you have 12 organs. Each one of these organs have to have one of those basic minerals. The reason we haven't gone to that, that's a class 2 session, where you have to know the structure of the organs to know what the mineral is doing. Their organs, each one of these organs has to be a requirement of certain minerals. In class 2, we cover that. That's where you have to know some chemistry. Otherwise, you'll be lost in it. The organs have a certain function, they have certain chemistry. They're doing their job, right? We like it or not, they can do their job. We can fool ourselves with our imagination, but the body will not do that. And then it lets you down, and then who you blame? And then you say, God, why? I've been loving you so much, I eat so good, and why you do this to me? So why not you? Yeah. What analogy are you using? Right? That was my complaint many times. So I said, okay, I'm going to learn. So I have to go back and restructure myself to think. The almond is set with the 12 basic minerals. That's why it was given that name by the wise men, almond. All, the whole world, the whole context of the mini body being a miniature universe. 12 basic minerals in there, all of them.
What's the nitrogen come from?
The nitrogen comes from the sun through the incorporation of the fiber around the almond.
And why does it keep it, as opposed to other things that don't keep it?
Because in the natural raw state, it's designed to encapsulate it till you're ready to use it. The moment you put heat to it, it's gone. That's why your almonds should be eaten raw.
Is our body using nitrogen in the world? And we believe that
we use that. Yes, we use that. We have the nitrogen in the
air. You said something about, I think you did, drinking the water.
Yes.
You soak your elements
in? No, distilled water.
Distilled water.
So ideally, soak your elements first over the morning, and you distill the water according to your body weight in the next morning. And then at the right time, eat the almonds and then eat the peaches and prunes. What if you can't get fresh peaches and prunes?
What I said before, if you're carrying them and it's canned, you wash off the syrup off the can of vegetable fruit, off the fruit, wash it off, and use it.
Because they have back to natural juices now.
That's all right. Then use it.
Then use this.
What about the dried ones? I take them separately.
If you get the dried fruit, soak it along with the almond. Soak it along because they're both willing. It's already, you want the liquid to go into them. You don't want them dry because your stomach will lock itself to the moisture reaction.
And it won't change that first initial almond for the hydrochloric acid.
They're all together. So when you soak them all together. You put it in your mouth. It's your mouth, it's that the almond has to go in, and then the hydrochloric acid is going to set tolerance, and all the rest are going to go out. That's the one unique thing about nature. She has made these foods to work a certain way, providing they go in their order.
So the length of breakfast is the length of stomach, 7 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you can start on your 90 degree food?
No. The next organ is your spleen.
Spleen, that's stomach, spleen.
All right.
11 a.m. then.
You need vitamin C, the anti-toxin vitamin, all 3 times of the day. You can't do without it. You can't live without it effectively. So nature placed us in California, the citrus belt,
yeah.
And the lions hung it around their neck, they hung it between their legs. See where they hung it? And the citrus oil works its way into the lungs and into the nasal tract.
Mm.
It's an anti-toxin vitamin C. If you have colds, chest colds, nasal drip, the quickest way to get your vitamin C is through the citrus fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are other citrus fruits, like oranges and so forth, and there are other fruits that have vitamin C, the cherries. They are all for the morning. So, at 9 to 11, you can eat the citrus fruits. Don't mix them. If you want to mix it with the almonds, you don't mix with almonds, but don't mix with anything else. It's the only nut that will go with a citrus fruit.
Don't mix even citrus fruits together like that.
Yeah,
like
you mix all citrus fruits go together, but don't mix them with no other kind. Because it's set up for therapy now. You're setting your body not only for nutrition, but you're setting it for therapy. You give it nutrition in the form of almond, peach, and prune, or almond, banana, mango, whatever. You give it that one. Now you want to set it up for therapy now. The vitamin C, you must have antitoxin vitamin in the body. Vitamin C. All citrus fruits come in there at the pancreas time. The pancreas is the burial ground of the human body. That's where all the toxins tend to accumulate. If you don't put in your vitamin C there, you have a problem with your pancreas and your spleen. Yes. It's a minimum of 2 hours apart. That's why we call it snacking. If I eat between 7 and 9, in the morning, I'll eat between, later on between 10 to 11. So, a couple hours different between the two, right? So usually I have my breakfast around 7, 7.30 in the morning, then I'll take my citrus juice around 10. So that gives me enough time. The distance between 2 meals is 2 hours, what we call one organ time. If you look, each organs are assigned what? They're assigned 2 hours.
Right.
And that's the phase of time allotted to each organ. So you're phasing from, if you keep the input time down between organs of one level to the next level, you're safe. That's exactly what your body's doing. So for breakfast time, 7 to 9. So I usually eat it between 7 and 8. The next organ is between 9 and 11. So I'll eat the citrus fruit around 10. That way I have now a rhythm synchronized to the body for those materials to move in and do their job correctly. The body knows that and the body's happy. You'll be amazed how your body gets so happy. So the citrus juices go in, or citrus fruits go in at 10 o'clock in the morning, between 9 and 11, for your vitamin C. And you need vitamin C. Now, vitamin C for the upper portion of the anatomy is for all the mucous membranes. Your citrus fruits, your cherries.
Sure.
They do the job.
Okay,
so if it's one day you can eat citrus fruit, next you can eat what? Cherries, right? Well, that's what I'm saying. Morning begins from 12 midnight to 12 midday. And you got a whole range of morning food now. So you see, if I go from here to China, I have a 12-hour range. Jet lag has no effect on biological clock time to nutrition. If you know biological clock time, you can go any part of the world, and then if you go out into space, the biological clock time is still working for you. That's what it's designed for. You are a space traveler. You see, we didn't know that until we started working with it. From 12 midnight to 12 midday is totally the range of the food and the nut. And so, cherries are in the morning. They are for the lung, they are for the nasal tract, they are vitamin C. There's another source of vitamin C except the citrus fruit that have vitamin C. What is necessary in the morning is vitamin C as an antitoxin. From the source they come from, the citrus fruits, cherries. You can't go wrong. You got it. So if you, one day you can eat the citrus fruit as a source, next day you can eat the cherries as a source of vitamin C. You got a question to ask, young lady? The minimum is one orange. Now, if you have what we call the tendency to rupture your skin when you are bruising, have you ever run into people who bump themselves and they bruise very easy? Good. Then we give them vitamin C in the morning. It's called a hot orange therapy. You take a whole orange, put it in a pan of cold water, and put the orange in. And no matter how much water you pour in the orange, it will never drown or float. So as long as it doesn't touch the bottom of the pan, as long as the pan is not made of aluminum, you don't want no aluminum pans around right now, you bring the water to a boil. And when the water is boiling, let it check it from the time it starts boiling for 3 minutes. So you have to come from cold water up. No use. So then 3 minutes as the water is boiling, you take the orange out. Then you take a knife and core it. Incidentally, don't burn your hand. Many of my patients would come back and I burn my hand and say, oh boy, you need to tell you this part enough to take the orange out? So I have to remind them, don't burn your hand. Core the orange this way and that way. This way. Then pull the skin out rough. Then you have the whole warm orange. It's not hot like the skin. It's warm now because the hot heat of the skin pushes the oils inward to the core for activation of the riboflavins. You can't do that when you extract riboflavins. There's no way to activate them after they're extracted. This is nature's way now. You push them back in and you activate it naturally within the core of the skin. So the citrus oils start to move in. Now, you take the orange now and you eat it with the pulp and you split the seed and break open to get a little of the nut of the orange seed. Now, it's one orange per day equal 1 month of your life. For how many years you are. So if you're 25 years of age, you multiply 25 by 12, that gives you the actual month in your life that you live, and you take that amount of orange over that length of time to all the varicose veins and restore the tissue so you can, and there's no scar or anything after a while. That's how the karate man developed the karate ball.
When you take that many oranges, age times 12, and that's that many oranges you eat at once?
Yeah, every day.
Every day.
So let's say the amount of oranges add up to 225.
Mm-hmm.
That's 225 days it will take you
to
clean it out.
Right.
With 225 oranges. Now, the word Mandarin orange came in because the Mandarin meant official. Those are the guys who are top-notch official, martial artists. And then they found out that this orange was so great, they even specialized in growing the orange and guarding it so nobody come around a monkey there, so they get the best result to get the effect of the riboflavins, so they build up their muscles and their tissues and their veins. So when they hit objects, they really hit them. And then it tells you, watch out, man. You've got it. Don't argue the guy. The grapefruit is a little different. Mr. Luther Burbank is the man who combined the lemon and the orange to make a grapefruit. So that's a vast difference between the two.
That's a combination.
You can use the grapefruit for bringing your weight down if you're overweight. But the orange is to clean the varicose veins and to strengthen the tissue.
That's funny because the grapefruit in the Philippines, the structure inside is totally different compared to the ones we're getting here.
Yeah,
it's just unbelievable.
They have to provide it's cold other than the
grapefruit. You said you need one orange. Now, is that the amount of vitamin C the body needs over a day, or is there other vitamin C's
we're
getting?
No, that's period of the day.
That period of the day.
You need vitamin C. See, 3 times a day from 3 different light sources.
Okay.
Now, for your lungs and your nasal tract, you need it from the citrus fruits or from cherries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we come to the middle of the day now, you have to eat food, you have to have protein from the middle of the day. So, there the choice of meat and no meat. Well, let's clear up one thing about meat and no meat. If you don't know your blood type, don't monkey around with no meat. You get more sick just a person who doesn't know the blood type, trying to eat meat all the time. Blood types are very important. First, understand what we're saying. There is a say they need it or they don't need it. And where the idea came from. There's a story that goes, when Adam was placed in the garden and Eve came along, and then they had a child named Cain, and then they had another child named Abel. One was born inside the garden, and one was born outside of the garden. And then an argument took place of offering up there between the two brothers to God an offering of fruit and an offering of meat. And the God appreciated the meat and accepted it. And so the allegory keeps going on over and over, never resolving itself what the heck it means all about. Now we do understand that life is in the blood, and the human body is the Garden of Eden. A lot of things start opening up for the first time. Why the allegory can be understood now for the first time, factually. Blood type A, plus or minus, was the Adam. The Garden of Eden is the human body. The type B, plus or minus, these are the Rh factor. That's the Eve of the body. Type AB, plus or minus, that's the Cain of the body. Type O, plus or minus, that's the Abel of the body. Now, which one of these blood type is it? Blood donor? That's Abel. Now, why is he a blood donor? If the story goes according to Abel, he is outside of the garden, and he was the one that offered up the what? Okay. This is a non-meat eater. Type A. This is the meat eater.
No, blood type is always the same from the appearance. And this is a non-meat eater. And this is a meat eater. Structurally, they're set up that way. Now let's understand what we're saying. Type A and AB are set up to be 100% non-meat eaters. So they can't be 100% meat eaters. They'll get sick if they try. Type B and O are set up to be 100% meat eaters. But they can't be 100% non-meat eaters. They'll get sick if they try. Now, what is the type of sickness that appears in their body? Type A and AB, if they try to eat meat all the time, that is, put the meat preference over the vegetable or anything, and always constantly looking for meat, they will end up getting this disease, acidosis. They will suffer from acidosis. They get too acid. This is how come the macrobiotic discovered the 80-20 alkaline, and then the doctor who took the chicken heart and put it in the solution and kept it for 28 years, changing the solution every day, and the heart didn't break down. And then he had to go in on vacation one day, and the attendant forgot to change the water because it was a weekend. So by the time the Monday place opened up, the chicken heart had rotted. And they thought it was a chemical solution, only to find out it was, it didn't change the thing on time. So that was the problem, completely struggle. Type B and O, they suffer from, if they try to stay vegetarian all the time or no meat eater all the time, they suffer alkalinosis. That's their problem. That's right. Now the normal healthy body is where? In the middle. 80-20.
80-20.
That's exactly where the health is because it's timing. You gotta hit the time for the rhythm and all the organs to move. All the relationship has gotta be there. And so if you try to be one or the other without understanding it, then these problems begin to show up.
Is there another way that you can make it
once we understand what we're subjected to, we come back to the light cycle. If the light cycle was inaccurate, as I said, this would be just a theory or some figment of a personal imagination. Nature is already organized everything to work within their light cycle. All I did was to discover the time cycle in it, the actual time of it. As far as the chemistry was set up, it's all set already. The protein, the carbohydrate, the mineral and vitamin, and the lipid and oil are all set for this growth cycle for the middle of the day for your organs. Now, the man who born in our home without knowing his blood type, here's a funny phenomenon. He may suddenly find his parents doing what? Following what the doctor says, he's got to what? Have some meat in the morning, some egg, and he grows up. Invariably, it's a funny phenomenon. Type A and AB are the parents who have a tendency to want what? More what?
Mm-hmm.
More meat, right. It's a tendency to want more meat in the house. And type O and B are a tendency to be with a family that wants less meat in the house. It's a comedy how we have been put around. I come from a family who, and I'm a type O.
and universal donor type. And I have tried for years consistently to be non-meat eating. Only to find out I'm ending up with alkalinosis, two alkaline, regicidity alkaline, and the body breaking down.
What would be your symptom?
It's a dryness of the skin, like a cirrhosis, but it flakes, but it doesn't leak any fluid, and it has no odor. Acidosis is the reverse, the same flaking of the skin, cracking up like a cirrhosis and psoriasis, but it leaks out a yellow fluid and has a high odor. So then you have diseases of acidosis or diseases of alkalinosis. Diseases of acidosis begins to show up now with people with all the various low pressures. And people with alkalinosis get diseases of high pressure.
Well, then isn't there any way you can substitute to override it?
Yeah, that is all, that's what we're coming to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that is all things we can, to overcome these things, you've got to know what to eat. Otherwise, you don't know what to eat, you can get a problem.
Diseases of low pressure or alkalinosis,
yeah.
High pressure or acidosis.
If you're too alkaline, is your pressure going fast or slow?
Blood pressure is going fast.
Yeah,
sorry,
yes.
Sure. I think it's enough.
If you're too acid, the pressure is going to rest.
Yes. It's so true. I see that in myself. I always have low blood pressure. It's amazing. And that's A+.
You see, once you begin to have gone, that's why I say it takes 30 years to knock it up, then it takes 30 years to, because it's in the mucking up period, and you're entitled to the mucking up period. And that's why Jesus went to the desert at 30 years of age to fast for 40 days. Most people think he did a fast program. He'd been practicing for 18 years when he hit out from 12 to 30. Just kind of researching his own body. So when he come in and walk off into that desert for 40 days and 40 nights, all he's going to resolve is the conflicts of eating, depression, or suicidal tendency and possessions. And after he ripped that type of a mental hang up, he walked away in 40 days and 40 nights back into society. But as you look back in your own self and the illnesses that occurred, you see they're starting to click now for the first time. And all the things that doctors be saying, they're starting to make more sense now for you. So you're getting a better control of your health and not being vulnerable and living in the anguish of lack of understanding. So you don't panic no more. That's one of the things you don't want to be a victim of, is panic. Because panic will kill you quicker than anything else.
Just sitting here panicking right now, I'm type O, and I haven't eaten meat for 14 years, and
I just listen carefully. When I started to go back to type O to find out what is necessary. Have you eaten egg? Yogananda even told Fernando to eat egg. See, and even when Mahatma Gandhi's daughter was sick, she had to have a similar type of fertilizer. Well, eggs in America aren't fertilized.
That's very true.
They're not fertilized, you see?
All the seafoods.
It's because the eggs in India are fertilized by roosters.
Oh God.
Right.
They turn the roosters on, they turn the hen on, and that's how they do.